At this time, I will call the Siskiyou County Planning Commission regular meeting of October 20th, 2021 to order. Would you all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, I want to notice that the public meeting is being agendized to allow planning staff and public to participate in the meeting via teleconference pursuant to Assembly Bill 361, which amends Government Code 54953. The call-in number and Zoom numbers are listed on the agenda. Roll call.
Commissioner Lindler?
Here.
Commissioner Fowle?
Present.
Commissioner Veal?
Here.
Chair Mello?
Here.
Commissioner Hart is absent today.
Next item is approval of the minutes of September 15, 2021.
Go ahead and move to approve them as they were submitted.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
Can I abstain because I was absent last night?
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Let the record show that Commissioner Lindler was not here on that meeting. Any person may address the commission on any subject matter within the jurisdiction or responsibility of the commission at the beginning of the meeting, or may elect to address the commission on any agenda item at the time the item is called by the chair, but before the matter is acted upon by the commission. Unscheduled comments will be limited to 5 minutes.
If you would like to speak on any item that is not on the agenda, please press *9 to raise your hand. I have Gaurav Narasimhan who would like to speak. Do we have 3 minutes?
3 minutes.
All right, hold on just a second. Go ahead, please state your name and address for the record. Wait, hold on just a second.
Battery 90%.
Hold on, go ahead and speak and let's see if our speaker's working now.
Hi, my name is Gaurav Narasimhan. My wife and I, Marushka Papazian, you know, we own two properties in Siskiyou County, one in Mount Shasta and the other one in Wheat. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Thank you. And first of all, thank you for the opportunity and, you know, my regards to members of the Planning Commission and the commissioners here. And I, you know, offer my deepest gratitude for all the help you've had. I'd like to talk about, two vacation rental permits we have currently in process. One for 1001 Rockefeller Drive, Manchester, and the other one for 8936 Blue Jay Lane in Weed. Both those motions have passed.
Are they coming up on the agenda? I can't quite understand it.
So, no, he does not have any items on the agenda today.
I don't, yeah.
It's unscheduled.
These are general comments, and I was hoping as a citizen to be able to engage in this civic process. And I want to use this opportunity because next month, November, will be 1 year since we applied for a vacation rental permit for our property at 1001 Rockefeller. And, you know, we are small business owners, and for both Rockefeller and Blue Jay, we've actually not been able to take bookings, you know, up to now. And the reasons, I think, are multifold. In both these properties, we realized after the fact, like the one at Rockefeller, that one of the bedrooms is unpermitted. So we're going through the building department and, you know, submitted another building permit application. And same for Blue Jay, we realized that the deck wasn't apparently permitted. And so we go and we just submitted a building permit application for that. My general comments are less about, the amazing people who supported that, Pete Bernadette, Pete Shelley, Karen from building. They've all been nice. But the process as a whole, you know, seems to fail us. You know, when you think of it's about a year since we submitted, and we wanted to always do the right thing, which is we submitted the application straight away. And as a small business owner who has another vacation rental in a different county, I'd like to offer some perspective and help. The first one is, it's not, or rather, it is about the process, and it's just really hard and long. And it has an unintended consequence of dissuading people who want to follow the process, like me. I'm giving an example from Sonoma County, where, you know, we have the other vacation rental. All that was needed was the, you know, a licensed contractor, because they have the same shortage with the building department, the planning commission, all of that stuff.
30 seconds. And,
yeah, a licensed contractor was enough to help submit the application. We were never required to, you know, work on permitting unpermitted structures. It just wasn't the case. And the very last thing I want to bring about is the fact that things like the hot tub, which we have at our Blue Jay facility, it's not a public facility. And even citing from our own experiences, it is not considered a public facility in, I can't remember any other county that it is. So really urging, and I want to help with the process, and I'm hoping to start a conversation around this.
Sir, your time is up. Yeah.
Thank you very much for your comment.
Conflict of interest?
I have one. So under, and this is Danielle Lindler, under agenda item 3, Gregory vesting tentative parcel map, the Gregory's are, I'm their client, so I have a severe conflict. And then I had a correction to the agenda.
Okay.
And then, so I need to recuse myself from agenda item 3. And then a note under agenda item 2, the Palo use permit. On the agenda, it's listed as UP-21-09. However, on the staff report, it's listed as UP-21-17.
That's my fault.
That's okay. Just wanted to make the correction to the agenda.
You?
And I don't think I have a conflict, but I see Mr. Martin is in the audience, and I purchased a dog from him a year ago. But just so the public knows,
the dog will be
one of the best dogs I've ever had, but then we tracked it back. It's actually related to my old bitch that I had. So, hey, good genetics. Just so everybody knows, I know Mr. Martin, and I've purchased a dog from him.
And council does not see any triggering requirements under the conflict of interest regs.
Okay.
Okay. The presentation of documents are listed on the agenda in item 1.6. The availability of public record is listed on the agenda as 1.7. Public hearing protocol is listed on 1.8 on your agenda. And so, be aware. The right of appeal statement. Projects heard at this Planning Commission meeting may be subject to appeal within 10 calendar days of today's meeting. If the 10th day falls on the weekend, the appeal must be received the following business day. Please contact the county clerk for information. Appeals must be submitted to the county clerk's office for the appeal fee of $1,250. If you challenge the environmental review or the project proposal in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues raised at the public hearing or in written correspondence delivered to Siskiyou County Planning at or prior to the public hearing. Changes to the agenda.
No changes.
Seeing none, there is no old business. We will move on to agenda item number 1. Surface Mining and Reclamation Ordinance Update, SMARA Ordinance Z-21-09. Staff report.
Through the chair. Rick Dean, Community Development Director. Just want to point out a few clarifications regarding this item. The previous Planning Commission was brought to before you specifically targeting the enforcement piece. is for the benefit of the public and the commission. We have shifted gears and we're doing the entire SMARTA ordinance, bringing in compliance with our current county code. So, go ahead and move forward with staff report.
Thank you. And so, brief history. On September 15th, 2021, Planning Director Kirk Skierski brought before the commission an update to the enforcement portion of the surface mining and reclamation ordinance. Concerns were expressed related to the appeal process, specifically the importance to maintain the appeal procedure within the current version of the county's ordinance, which stipulates the Planning Commission as the review authority should there be an appeal of the Planning Director's order to comply relating to violations of surface mining operation. The Commission continued the public hearing to today's meeting with the direction to staff to revise the amendments. As a result, staff has moved forward with a comprehensive update of the County Surface Mining and Reclamation Ordinance, which includes revised timeframes relating to local and state review, comment periods, and minor amendments as a result of state updated language and definitions. Due to the significant changes from the Commission's direction provided at the last Planning Commission meeting, staff re-noticed the public hearing in order to provide the public notice of the additional updates. The project before you today is an update to our local ordinance to bring it in line with the state's Surface Mining and Reclamation Act, known as SMARA. The current version of the County Surface Mining and Reclamation Ordinance was adopted in 2015. Since then, the state has passed subsequent legislation amending and updating SMARA. The proposed amendments will ensure the County Surface Mining and Reclamation Ordinance is consistent with the provisions of SMARA. The proposed amendments include the provisions currently prescribed in SMARA while maintaining the county's current appeal procedure, which includes the Planning Commission as the appellate panel for decisions made by the Planning Director. The proposed amendments are the minimum necessary to ensure the county's surface mining and reclamation ordinance is consistent with SMARA. Should the commission choose to adopt resolution PC 2021-023, recommending the Board of Supervisors adopt the proposed ordinance, staff would recommend they do so with the following corrections of typographical errors within the ordinance. In section 10-5.103, the last line of the surface mining operation definition, PRC section 3505, should be replaced with 14 CCR 3505. And in section 10-5.110, it states pursuant to section 105.113, this should be replaced with 10-5.113. And in section 10-5.117, it states in accordance with section 1-5.112 in the first and second sentence, this should be replaced with section 10-5.112. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions from?
Well, I've got a bunch of them.
You want to do it now or after the
I'll wait.
Okay. Okay, at this time I will open the public hearing. Does anybody here wish to address the commission on this item?
If you are calling into this meeting and if you would like to speak on this item, please raise your hand. If you are dialing in, please press star 9 to raise your hand. Seeing none.
At this time, I will close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission. Commissioner Fowle.
Okay. So first, thank you staff for making the changes and adjustments for allowing a consistent process, consistent with how we historically have done it for when there are issues of whether or not there's been a violation, keeping us in the loop. Thank you. I'm fine with that language. This new language, however, I've got more yellow flags waiting. So I'll try and figure out where to start here. I guess my first question is, the underlined verbiage here is language staff is recommending to add to our current county section. New language, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Question number one. 3501, which it should be 3505. Can you please make the connection of how 3505 that deals with the contracting and wages of the party to perform the duty relates to borrow pitting and stream bed skimming?
I'm sorry, in what section?
Well, right here in the very top, you note that it's the 3501, which should be 3505, but 3505, I brought it up, deals with the governing body of a public agency or such boards, commissions, administrative officers, or other representatives as may be properly designated by law, by governing board, blah, 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 dealing with meeting and conferring in good faith with wages, public agency and its final budgets. I'm not seeing the connection of 3505 with borrow pitting and spring bed skimming.
I suspect, and I don't have the CCRs in front of me, that should be 14 CCR 3505. I have to check on my phone here.
That's just a little bit.
Oh, so we're dealing with county section, not the state.
No, 14 CCR state.
Because PRC is state, and PRC section 3505 is dealing with governing bodies and good faith representation.
It should be this one, Jen. It should be 14 CCR.
That's the correction. Sorry.
Okay, so it should.
Should be 14 CCR.
What did I do? Touch?
California.
You touched something right there, 3505. Today.
So do you see here where it says 14 CCR?
Okay. Hold. Mine, when I plugged it in, was a different section.
Yeah.
All right, let me
so
take a quick look at this.
Yeah.
Because this may address my other question.
Special.
Okay, my question still applies then. So that answers my question for the relevance of 3505. Okay, so we're good there. So now I am looking specifically at the term stream bed skimming and realizing that it is noted there are some specific exclusions in 2714, which deal predominantly with construction of structures. My concern is if the proposed GSP for Sigma, the plan specifically for Scott Valley, is adopted in something close to its current form, there are projects listed in the respective tiers to address water quantity issues that this would essentially require another permit in order to go in and simply do copper dams properly.
is that the intent of the county to add another permit to be able to address a problem in what is anticipated to be in another approved county plan? There's a potential conflict there, and taking beyond Sigma, there's some landowners, and I'm speaking specifically for Scott Valley, where we finally have the state on board for recovering some of the historic pools that once existed back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And essentially, it is stream bed skimming, pulling material out of the river to restore these pools. We're already getting a 1600 permit, but if we end up having to run through the SMARA process to come up with elevations and a plan and then a reclamation plan afterwards, you're going to price these projects out of private landowners.
Yeah. But Commissioner Bell, that's not the intent, and I believe that the exemptions for construction would cover that, so we exempt SMARA.
So that brings me back to, let me jump back here to...
would also allow some sale of aggregate.
So it allows excavation or grading of lands conducted for farming. That wouldn't apply to restoration of pools. And the other exemption is on-site excavation or earth-moving activities that are integral and necessary for the construction of structures. That doesn't apply to the pools. Road cuts, fills, and embankments, that doesn't apply. Going through here and then the rest of it, I'm sorry, I don't see those, that type of activity being excluded, and I'm wondering why all of a sudden we're throwing stream bed skimming in here. It's got me nervous.
It's a definition.
It's a definition, and it's not being replaced or added. It was in our ordinance.
But it's underlined. So I was already told that's new language.
But in the paragraph above, stream bed skimming is in there already.
But it's in the in relation to dredging. For example, what Richard Moore is doing, I see that and I can correlate. Okay, that is stream bed skimming. He has a proper permit. He has a reclamation plan. It's part of his business for extracting, refining, and selling a product. But what we're talking about, I believe, would also be interpreted as stream bed skimming. We are not refining it. We are not selling it. We're simply removing it.
And doing what? Can you sell it?
Well, I'm hoping in Scott Valley we could send it up to Richard Moore and then he can refine it and do it, but we're just trying to get it out of the river. But what we're doing is stream bed skimming. So is there a way we can add language, counselor, that would add an additional exclusion that stream bed skimming activities performed for the purpose of improving and enhancing riparian habitat with proper 1600 permitting would be excluded from this section?
So if it's not listed in section 2714, SMARA is supposed to be a statewide regulatory control. We would have to find a way to describe it within 2714. We can't carve out local exceptions to SMARA. I mean, if it's, you know, there's two ways to do this. Either we just leave our additional, we delete the proposed language and just wholly go with 2714, or we have to find a way to describe that exemption
within a category of 2714.
So, and I'm sorry if I go off on a tangent here, Mr. Chair, but right here is another prime example where we have one state regulation or entity, CDFW, comes in with their engineers and their biologists and go through a CEQA process and give you a valid, legitimate permit to do an activity. And then you have another state regulation that comes in and says, oh, time out here. You've got to now go through SMARA if you want to do this project, which is the exact same thing we have with State Water Board telling us that we're only allowed to use XCFS when I've got a written contract with 1600 permit with another state agency that says I have to have this much CFS in order to have the fish screen function properly. And so we're at a disconnect here.
Right. Well, I don't know the practicalities of such projects or how large they are. I will note that under 3505, the regulation, not the statute, there is an additional exemption just generally for any surface mining operation that does not involve the removal of a total of 1,000 cubic yards.
That doesn't take much.
Okay.
That's a drop in the bucket for what 4 or 5 people are wanting to do. So I just don't want to see, and this is me representing Scott Valley. We have landowners that are trying to do the right thing, are working with the state agency to solve problems, not manage them in perpetuity. I don't want to see them getting hit with another block and saying, oh, stop, you can't do this because another state agency says you need to pay money in order to do this good deed. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see that.
Yeah. Well,
so how do we give,
well,
propose me a solution that at least doesn't trigger the county coming out in a pickup saying stop and desist, we've got to run you through the SMARA process?
Well, the simplest way to kick the ball down the road, as I've already mentioned, is just to rely wholly on the statute itself, and then the issue comes along, you look at it then. Otherwise, and I don't feel ready that I can look through these 20 exemptions in 2714 that I have right in front of me, and figure out if there's a way we can shoehorn in stream bed operations within 2714. We can't loosen SMARA and exempt things locally that SMARA otherwise requires.
So let me ask this question.
Okay.
What did they do for the Stanislaus and the Tuolumne and the San Joaquin Rivers when they did their 5-year restoration there, and they hauled a bunch of material out of all three of those rivers, and I'll guarantee you they were not operating under SMARA?
Then either staff is missing an exemption, and I don't think we can answer it on the spot, and certainly come back next month with an answer, or you know, I don't know anything about those projects and what permissions or permits they got, but I understand your point.
To regenerate those pools, 1,000 yards would be 100 dump truck pools, right?
Which is nothing.
Well, but I mean, is that per operation, or is it if you had 3 pools to the set?
I could pull 300 truckloads out of the river on our place, and we might get halfway back to where we were in the 70s.
Yep.
You add in John Spencer's,
yeah.
You add in what used to be the Tobias, mm-hmm. Hammonds, Rick Barnes, basically from Young's Dam up is where we're looking. Easily 100 loads from each of those
mm-hmm.
places.
That's what that would mean.
Yeah, easily. And that's just to get partway down.
Mm-hmm.
And I will note, and I don't know if this makes a difference. You know, stream bed skimming is defined as excavation of sand and gravel from the stream bed deposits above the mean summer water level or stream bottom, whichever is higher. And I realize the streams run here very low, so maybe it doesn't make a difference. But
and this is one of those others. You have one agency that talks about high water, the other low water. And where is that high water measured? Is it stream bank full, or in some agencies, it's basically from Highway 3 to the bottom of East Side Road?
Right. Right.
The floodplain.
Okay.
So I just don't want to see, when we finally have a vehicle of solution, of problem solving, beginning forward momentum, to have something come along and throw a roadblock in the way and stop it.
Okay.
And allow the perpetual management of problems. Okay. I'm a problem solver, not manager.
Well, I, for the moment, we could delete stream bed skimming out of the definition. That does not mean the state law may not apply to it otherwise.
But it wouldn't trigger the county for...
It wouldn't make... It's, yeah, the county would not be explicitly holding out stream bed skimming as something within SMARA. And we would just have to go to the SMARA statutes themselves.
Commissioner Lindler has a question also.
So, let me pull this back up. So, in the list of exemptions, there is a section on, let's see, I'm on page, it says page 2, item 8, for an exemption for timber operations, and it says excavations or grading for the exclusive purpose of obtaining materials for roadbed construction and maintenance conducted in connection with timber operations or forest management on land owned by the same person or entity. I'm not sure if I'm understanding that correctly, and I assume this is just canned language that was inserted, but oftentimes, like in forestry, we may have an adjacent landowner where we have these co-opt roads, where the adjacent landowner may have a borrow pit that we will go excavate material to then rock our roads. In that situation, is this saying that we wouldn't be able to get that material from our adjacent landowner, even though we have joint maintenance of these road systems? We wouldn't get that exemption, and we'd be subject to SMARA to excavate the material. And then the second question is, the exemption is limited to excavation and grading that is conducted adjacent to timber operations or forest management roads and shall not apply to on-site excavation or grading that occurs within 100 feet of a Class 1 water course or 75 feet of a Class 2. Is that also saying that if I'm in a grader road within 100 feet of a 1 or a 2 that I would need SMARA because our county doesn't have a grading ordinance, especially related to timber operations? So typically I could go in and put the road back into drivable shape as long as I'm what's out of the WILPIS and outside of like winter operation times, we're able to maintain our own roads. And I'm concerned with this language that it would be limiting our ability to do so. So I have concern over that.
Yeah, I always worry about the word or.
Because a lot of our historic roads are, you know, within creek zones. We have taken to rocking them, especially if they're used during the winter period or when there's a chance of rain over 30% in the forecast. We have forest practice rules that already require that. But kind of to Jeff's concern, we have forest practice rules, we have water quality, and now are we going to be adding SMARA on top of that? We already usually have 4 to 5 different permits. I don't want a 6th.
Yeah, I can address the first question with the adjacent property. It would be under the scrutiny of SMARA if the volume and surface area exceeded.
Is there an overriding volume? Because in 8, it doesn't give a volume. Does it refer back to that 1,000 cubic yards? Okay.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got
as far as the grading goes on the other property for low buildings and so forth, if you're going to encroach on waterways and so forth, it'll fall to your plan that you have with fish and wildlife.
Yeah.
As far as their requirements go, I don't think we would bring them to the smart realm at all.
Okay. Because obviously, like, you know, if we're selling it, you know, and it's going off site, we understand that that's obviously an use that we fall under. But when we're just, we have a lot of these co-op roads that go for miles, whether it's co-op with other timberland owners or co-op with, like, the Forest Service, where there's, like, joint maintenance. So we kind of, we're not, like, buying it. We're just sharing.
A number of years ago, we had a situation up in Butte Valley, and I will stand corrected because I know, I don't know if you were here yet or not, but I know you were, that there was a mining issue, and to the best of my knowledge, it still hasn't been resolved. Is any, you're all new.
I remember.
You remember it? What was the guy's name?
Nobody here in front of us was here at the time.
That's so why I'm
referring to Timber Hitch Mine with Cliff McMillan.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has that ever been resolved?
Negative. No, we're still working on that.
See, this is one of my concerns about SMARA.
Did the fire not?
And I know maybe they're not related, but it deals with the same thing this does. Mining.
Right. So, Counselor, as we're probably going to be continuing this, I would, you know, refer you and staff, I mean, ideally, within the, see, so this is the PRC 2714 exemptions, under K, where it's talking about earth moving in oil and gas fields, the item number 4 would be applicable if the river were a oil or gas field, where it says no excavated materials are sold for commercial purposes. There's a possibility, but it doesn't apply. And then if you start working backwards from K, everything is Central Valley specific for exemptions. Not that they would necessarily apply to us, although it does say State Water Board, but State Water Board, this is where we can agree to disagree. They don't do projects in the Scott Valley except for tell us to shut our water off. And we work with CDFW. And it's an adjudicated system. I won't go down that path. But, you know, they carve out these exemptions for Department of Water Resources. Can we fudge and, because technically, California Department of Fish and Wildlife is under the State Department of Natural Resources, just not under water resources. So if we have an active permit with a sister agency within the Natural Resources Division, can that be considered an exemption?
So you're asking to postpone this?
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with this.
Okay, until the skimming, stream bed skimming language is clarified? Is that
we either pull it or council and staff comes up with a way that we're not...
But this language
we're
is,
not,
comes from on high, right?
Oh, I don't give a damn if
no,
it comes
I'm just
from
saying,
the state.
Okay,
don't get me started. I've been in more meetings the last 3 weeks.
We can do whatever we want.
But I want to make sure it protects the county, but it's not creating an additional cost for our private farms, ranches,
yeah,
and landowners.
I understand. I'm just saying, whatever we say is still subject to the law of the state.
Potentially, but it's not going to trigger the county getting involved saying you have to all of a sudden do this, and this when we've already jumped through the hoops to do A.
This here specifically mentions stream bed skimming and stockpiling of materials.
Right. That's the one I'm talking about.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So.
I have one more question.
Yes.
So these SMARAs, just so I understand, what departments, I mean, it goes through planning. Does it go through other departments when you guys are reviewing these? And what's the average time frame to do one of these permits? Because, you know, like...
Well,
Right, it goes through the secret process. It's a very long process, and it goes through all this route through all the agencies. This is in the other use permit. And accompanying the use permit, there's also a reclamation plan that has to be developed, and then also bonds or CDs set aside as a financial mechanism to secure that rec plan. If the operator cannot perform, then we have to step in and reclaim that.
And full CEQA, public comment.
So does it...
Would it be set, so in our case, you know, we do CEQA anyways. Would that be my CEQA vehicle, or would I have to go outside and do an EI?
And see, we get CEQA exemptions on CDFWs, some of those projects. They're categorically exempt, or they're NEGDECs. But if it all of a sudden falls under SMARA, it's no longer a NEGDEC, and it's no longer a MIT.
So if I needed to rock a road to operate in the winter period, and I was using my neighbor's rock, I technically could be under SMARA, and that will be 6 months to a year?
Well, it would not be you personally. It would be the property owner.
But,
yeah.
And then, because that will, like right now with these emergency operations, you know, with all these dead trees, we have to use rock roads or those trees don't come out.
Right.
If those trees aren't harvested within a matter of months, you've got 6 months to a year on the long end, they're worthless. And so I see this being one more way to just kill operations in California. And this isn't against you, because I recognize this is coming. I'm just speaking out loud on seeing this stuff. So.
Does the county understand, does staff understand what you're requesting?
I think council does.
I do understand. And this is going to make you very happy. It seems like I looked at a couple of other local jurisdictions who did mention stream skimming, and they did have that. They did have a similar provision as proposed here. So I can't say it's completely out of the blue. And you know, the original drafter of this, Kirk, isn't here any longer, so I don't know what his rationale was to include it. I can't say it's wrong, and it's actually harder to go the other way, Commissioner Fowle, the way you want, to try to create an exception. And I don't think I will be able to, everybody's looking at me to satisfy this issue. I don't think I will be able to satisfy it this morning, and I'll just have to go back to my office and look harder at the issue. Now that I know there's a specific issue with that.
Because it's one thing if you are pulling and selling, pulling, refining, selling, no problem there. Okay, mm-hmm. SMARA applies.
I agree.
But if you're pulling under a 1600 to improve habitat, riparian, I'm sorry, if we've met the stipulations laid out by a state agency once, I see no reason why we need to go through legitimately, in most cases, it's going to be a full CEQA document with a reclamation plan and bonds. Those projects won't happen.
And what you're saying doesn't make a lot of sense. I agree.
You just have to find a way to do it right.
Yes, sir.
Just one thing that I would throw out there, and I know we don't have complete control at the local level, but the interpretation of a structure. Right, I could make the case that you're creating a recharge basin, and that pool itself is a structure. Whether or not the state of California would agree with that, but I think that that's a potential.
And while I appreciate that, that only works as long as you are in that chair, because we all know a couple individuals we've had in that chair in the past would not share your assessment of that. Otherwise, we would not have headed down the path for some two ordinances on what is ancillary and what is not. It's who's sitting in that chair right now. Yeah, you have common sense. We don't always have people with common sense in that chair.
I don't know if there's a way that can be codified or if a directed determination satisfy that need. agree.
So you want to make a motion to...
Well, Counselor, do you feel confident that in 30 to 60 days with some due diligence, you could come back with a potential solution to the dilemma?
I can come back with a potential solution or give you a more definitive why I don't think you can do that. I'm obviously going to try to work it. So we can do it, but I'd want to look, you know, SMARA, the regulations anyways, go call out a specific definition of stream bed skimming. I'd like to see, and I was trying to do it now, I just don't have the time, and I can't listen, do two things at once, find what context they're using stream bed skimming in within the regulations. I have to look at other local jurisdictions.
So would you prefer that I make a motion to continue this
to a date certain?
Okay, so I will move that we continue this project.
This ordinance?
The ordinance amendment to a date certain?
Yes, because that way we won't have to re-notice the public hearing.
Okay.
Not that I want to say it's not a big deal to notice the public hearing, but I also want to notice staff says it costs money. So date certain would be better.
Okay.
And do I think I could do it by mid-December? I mean, I think so. Maybe there's a December confident, but yeah, I'll do it. I'll have something back by mid-December for sure.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Now, this is a voice vote.
Well, is this the extent of your request?
I want to make sure. So, Daniel, were there any specific items that you also wanted staff to address or council to address to come back? Or were you...
Well, my comments...
I'm pretty sure they're clear on my direction. The question is, are they clear on yours?
Yeah, and I'd like to repeat back what I'm working on. And it's certainly, if anyone else has any concerns before we continue it, for either staff or myself to look at it, you might as well make a shopping list now. So, maybe there's not.
Yeah. Mine would be under section 10-5.102, applicability and exemptions, B8, and primarily the sentence that states, the first sentence, but the last portion that says, on land owned by the same person or entity. It would be nice if there was some way that we can do this co-op thing. Because Rocking Roads is beneficial, and I would hate to see that limit our operating period.
I think for the most part, the language added here was straight out of the statute.
Mm-hmm.
I will look at that.
And then also the grading portion of grading that occurs within 100 feet of a class 1 or 2. Because we need to put roads back in shape without another.
So grading with 100 or 200 feet of roads?
Yeah, water courses.
Water.
Mm-hmm. And that's a class 1 or class 2 water course. One is fish bearing and one is non-fish with aquatic habitat.
Commissioner Linder, when you're speaking of grading near that area, are you talking about the road itself?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you talking about the road itself? Is...
So, yeah, because this sentence says, and shall not apply to on-site excavation or grading that occurs within 100 feet. But we do grading within that zone because a lot of our existing historic roads are within what we would call the WILPIS, the Water Course Lake Protection Zone. And so these existing roads need maintenance, especially post-fire maintenance. And in reading this exemption, it would not allow for that maintenance in the areas that we need the most maintenance without the SMARA permit. And a lot of that maintenance, like with these fires, needs to happen immediately before the rains, because post-fire is when we get the most erosion. So 6 months to a year with a SMARA permit Most of your erosion has already happened by the time we get there, if we have to follow this. It's all for good reason. It's not trying to find a loophole. This is trying to find, maintain the ability to reclimate these areas.
Okay, I think I understand. So we'll be looking into whether we can delete this language exempting or not applying grading and excavation within 100 feet of a class 1 or 75 feet of a class 2.
Yep. Okay. And I would also add that like in Jeff's case in the Scott Valley, we work with Cal Fire, Water Quality, Fish and Game on all of our roads. So they're not without agency review. It's just to add another layer without emergency timelines.
And okay, and the commissioner of Fowl's stream bed skimming, the easiest thing we can always do is just delete that language out. That doesn't fully satisfy your question. Sounds like what you refer is an explicit exemption, perhaps. Okay.
I'm tired of duplicitous regulation. If we get the go-ahead by an agency, sister agency,
convenient,
and we have, yeah, there are portions of the process of the 1600 that I'm not fond of, but I can live with it. It doesn't price out a project anymore, but you add this and or another, all of a sudden, projects that at one time can solve problems become unaffordable. It simply allows state and federal agencies to continue to manage problems in perpetuity. I'm sick of it.
Okay.
If you want to know how I really feel.
Okay, does the motion stand and the second?
Yes.
Is all it is to bring it back. Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Through the chair.
Through the chair.
Yes. I want to clarify that it's the December 15th Planning Commission meeting that you are
having. No, it's date certain, allowing open-ended, so you all have the time to do what you need to do and come back to us so we don't have to renotice it.
Right? I feel on my part I can't. I don't want to speak for staff. I don't know how to.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they may be mainly relying on me, and I feel I can do it by December 15th.
Okay.
Yeah, however, if you guys want to look at it also and need more time, maybe it should be the January PC.
Yeah.
Let's move forward to the December.
Okay, December 15th.
Through the chair, I didn't hear a second.
Yeah. Yes, it was Commissioner Veal.
Commissioner Veal. So we just go ahead as the motion states. Yes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Item number two, the Parlo use permit, UP-21-09.
That's correct.
Oh, that's right.
It needs to be
2117.
2117. 2117, staff report, please.
Thank you. Yes, this is the Parlo use permit 2117, and this use permit proposes to convert, hold on just a second. This use permit proposes to convert an existing single-family dwelling at 1015 Circle 7 Road in McLeod into a vacation rental. The approximately 3,786 square foot house is located on a 20-acre parcel that's zoned for non-prime agricultural uses with a 20-acre minimum parcel size. The project is consistent with the general plan and zoning for its area and was inspected by Building Department and Environmental Health on September 15th and September 22nd of 2021, respectively. There are four parking spaces that would be required for this project, and there's adequate space in the garage and in front of the house for those four spaces. This property is within the Cooley Ranch Estates Homeowner Association, which only provides services relating to the roads within the subdivision. Three bedrooms and a media room are proposed as sleeping quarters. However, the media room does not meet requirements for egress and cannot be used as sleeping quarters as part of this permit. based on the square footage of the three bedrooms, up to 14 guests could be accommodated. This number is more than what is allowed by code, which limits vacation rentals to a maximum of 10 guests at any one time. Additionally, the septic system is currently only adequate for 6 persons, therefore the maximum occupancy would be limited to 6 persons. However, staff is recommending that upon upgrade of the septic system and approval by Environmental Health, the occupancy be increased to a maximum of 10 persons. This project is exempt from CEQA per section 15301 as it is an existing facility and there are no unusual circumstances or future activities which might reasonably result in this project having a significant effect on the environment. No public comments received at the time the staff report was written. However, one public comment in opposition to the project was submitted since then and should have been provided to you at the beginning of this meeting. Although CalFIRE did not comment on this project, staff is still recommending that the applicant comply with CalFIRE regulations as listed in condition of approval number 16. Staff recommends adopting the categorical exemption and approving the use permit for this project, and there is a suggested motion in the packet.
Any questions from commission at this time?
I notice on the comments that pool and spa facilities may not be added on the premises until approval of the environmental health. That's the part of environmental health. And the gentleman, I couldn't really understand what he was talking about, but it sounded like he wanted to include a hot tub. So my question is, do we allow hot tubs in the event that they've been approved by the health department?
And the reason you haven't seen them is because in vacation rentals, county code requires that should a vacation rental wish to have a hot tub or a sauna, those available for their guest use, those have to meet commercial pool and spa and hot tub requirements, which are very, very stringent, and they're pretty much impossible for a residential property to meet.
What do you mean commercial?
They have to meet the like commercial requirements, like as if it were a public pool.
ADA requirements.
Well, other counties, I see them advertised as,
Our particular county code requires that they be treated as a commercial.
That's fine. I just was wondering why some counties do and we don't.
I don't know why we ended up with that.
That's fine.
Right. Yeah. Through the chair.
Yes, sir.
The aspect of our ordinance that delineates private versus public, and we are in the public realm with the vacation rentals. Other counties have deemed it private. So that's a distinction.
Okay. Understand.
Okay, at this time then I will open the public hearing.
I do have the project proponent on the line. Mr. Paolo, if you would like to speak, please raise your hand. And he does wish to speak. Hold on a second, make sure our speaker is still on. Okay, go ahead.
We do not have a pool or a hot tub on the property and have no intent of adding either.
Thank you. Did you have any other comments that you would like to make regarding your project?
Just that I think it's consistent with the vacation rental we operate on the adjacent property. We've been proven operators since back in 2012 and look forward to adding this to our list of rentals.
Thank you. If there are any other people that would like to comment on this, please raise your hand. If you're calling in, you may raise your hand by pressing star 9. Does anybody in the member of the public here in person wish to speak on this item? Seeing none.
Thank you. At this time, I will close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission.
I'm just going to name it Pig Creek. Just a little comment.
So, question for clarification. We do now have condition 23 pertaining to use of firearms by non-property owners when it's in use as a vacation rental. We have condition 17, which further delineates but specifies that outdoor burning not allowed, but contained barbecues are permissible. Is there a reason why 23 is not one of the bullet items right up front on the door under B on the notice?
I think you talked about that last time.
So,
it's like,
right.
I realize probably the conditions here, I'm assuming, are similar to hotels where on the back of the door when you go in the motel room, there's a list of all the conditions, restrictions, what's allowed, what's not allowed in the use of the motel room. This would also be there. The likelihood of a renter, vacation renter, to turn through three or four pages to read the whole thing is probably not going to happen, but if it's on page one, these are the restrictions as a bullet item, maybe they might see it, but I'm just speculating.
Right, so I believe we spoke about this last month maybe,
and we looked into
previous projects, and no other project has ever had it on the bullet that we could determine. However, if you would like for us to have it as a specific bullet item in addition to a specific condition of approval, that is absolutely
we do for the prohibition of outdoor burning. It would make sense, especially in this area, because it's really close to what caused us to add this in the first place. I mean, as a stone's throw down the road.
This is actually the same property that was involved with that comment. Mr. Paolo purchased it.
Like I said, a stone's throw from where this all started.
I agree with Jeff. I think it should be clearly noticed that that is not allowed.
So to clarify, you would like the bullet item that currently says prohibition of all outdoor burning because this is a wildfire hazard area to restate both...
I'm saying we have the bullet that has the prohibition. And then we break it down into more detail under 17.
Right.
Correct.
I could propose an additional bullet. Use of firearms are prohibited at all times.
By renters.
By renters, sure.
We're not infringing upon the right of the owner. If the owner's there on 20 acres, they can do whatever they want. Don't tend to have problems when it's the owners. It's the renters.
Right. Would you like the outdoor burning prohibition bullet item to clarify that cooking fires...
No, what we have here, it's prohibition of all outdoor burning. Okay. That's fine. Now, if they want to dig in a little bit further, they can see, oh, a barbecue is okay, but it's a wildfire area. No outdoor burning, period.
So you simply want to add in the fireworks and firearms bullet
item. Talking. By renters.
I mean, to me, that last part seems... redundant because all these restrictions only ever apply when renting.
I realize that. I'm just covering the bases. We are not infringing on Second Amendment rights of the property owner.
Okay.
It's renters. We don't know the difference between a borough and a borough.
Okay. Okay, so use of fireworks or firearms are prohibited at all times by renters. Or better said, renters are prohibited at all times. I like the active voice better than the passive. Renters are prohibited at all times from the use of firearms and fireworks.
Prohibition of use of firearms by renters at all times.
That's fine.
Anybody else?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So on In exhibit, sorry, my computer just had a thing go over the top where I can see the exhibit. It's the building department vacation rental inspection report. There's some remarks that need attention. Have the items that need attention, it's exhibit B, been remedied or they will be remedied prior to occupancy?
I actually modified the condition of approval related to that. So
you did? Okay, I missed that.
Which number it is. Okay. So it's item number 11. It says an inspection of the existing residence shall be required by both the building and environmental health departments to determine if the facility complies with the standards specified herein. All items noted on the inspection need to be corrected. Proof of compliance is required prior to authorization for use of the dwelling as a vacation rental.
Thank you for that. I have no more questions, Chair.
Very good. At this time, I will entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve the, I don't have the exact number, Palo Vacation Rental UP 2117. Let me
2117.
Yeah, 21-17. I need to read the exact motion. Yeah, let me start over with my motion. I move that we adopt resolution I have a question.
So the resolution is different from the project number.
Thank you.
So the project number is 2117. The resolution number is 21022.
Okay, so that is correct. Okay. So I will start over for a third time. Sorry about that. So I move that we adopt resolution PC-2021-022. A resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, approving the Palo use permit UP-21-17 and determining the project exempt from CEQA.
With the requirement that the bullets include the firearms prohibition discussed.
Agreed
with the council's recommendation.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further comments? This will be a voice vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. The next item. Is the Gregory Vesting Tentative Parcel Map. TPM-21-03. Staff report, please.
Excuse me.
She's recusing herself.
Good morning. Shelley Gray, Assistant Planner. JR and Patricia Gregory are requesting approval of a vesting tentative parcel map to subdivide an existing 120.5-acre parcel into three approximately 40-acre parcels. The subject property is located on Hoy Road, north of the city of Weed, and within the sphere of influence for that city. The three new 40-acre proposed parcels are within the prime agricultural and non-prime agricultural zoning district, which allows a minimum parcel size of 40 acres. All three proposed parcels have access to Hoy Road. Parcel 2 is developed with a single-family dwelling, accessory structures, driveway, on-site septic system, and private well. Parcels 1 and 3 are undeveloped and have an approved septic area and adequate groundwater available in the general area for residential development. The project is consistent with the Subdivision Map Act, general plan, and zoning for its area. This project is proposed to be exempt from CEQA pursuant to sections 15061B3 and 15304 because there are no unusual circumstances of or future activities which might reasonably result in this project having a significant effect on the environment. Environmental Health and CAL FIRE commented on this project regarding their requirements. No public comments were received for this project. Staff recommends approving the vesting tentative parcel map and determine the project categorically exempt. There is a suggested motion in the packet. Thank you.
Any questions of staff at this time? At this time, I will open the public hearing.
Good morning, I'm Robert Martin. I am a local land surveyor out of Montague. And I do want to thank staff for all of their help with this project. I don't have anything specific that I want to share right now, but I want to make sure that if you do have any questions, feel free to ask me during the hearing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you are calling in and you would like to speak on this matter, please press star 9 to raise your hand at this time. Seeing none.
At this time, I will close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission.
Is Hoy Road paved? All that, the whole,
most of it. Some of it's got pretty good potholes.
Yeah, I haven't been out there for a while. But
through this project, it's paved. Yeah.
Yeah. Question on the parcel map on parcel 1 through the southern portion, there's a 20-foot easement, ingress, egress. Is that a road that shoots through there?
It's an existing driveway to an adjacent owner.
Sir, would you please come to the mic? Thank you so much.
That easement is currently an existing driveway to an adjacent owner.
Okay, so it runs from Hoy Road. Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. On this one, I wasn't sure if it was irrigation, if it was power or a road. Okay. Man, that gets close to that. How close is that to that septic?
We're at a 300-foot scale is 1 inch, so there's quite a bit of space there. I'm just going to roughly say 150 to 200 feet.
Okay, just proportionately on the map, it's like, okay. All right, that was one question I had. Now I'm trying to remember if I had a second one on this one. I don't think so. I think that was it.
No further questions. I will entertain a motion.
Some of the prints in blue and some in black. Let's see what happens. The typewriter just changed. There's no significance to it.
Leah comes in and staff is cutting the paste.
I think for the record, we should just be sure there's no other public comment.
We already did.
Oh, we did? Okay.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, he closed it.
All right. Sir. I'm sorry.
And there was nobody speaking other than Mr. Martin.
You ready for a motion?
Yes, sir.
I move that we adopt resolution PC 2021-024, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, determining that the project is exempt from California Environmental Quality Act and approving the Gregory Vesting Tentative Parcel Map TPM 21-03.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further comments? It's a voice vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Let the record show that Commissioner Lindler recused herself.
invited back in.
And I want to take a 5-minute break now, please.
Good idea.
If we will be taking a 5-minute break, we will be back around 10.